Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to A Voice in the Wilderness podcast. Today, I got a special guest, two-time state champion appearing head coach, Coach Freeman of Brooks County, Quitman, Georgia. And for the last two seasons, Coach, you guys have been playing for the title. And, man, I'm excited about what's going on in your program because, like you, like me, you come from the old school. And you do it the old way. And I love that. And I love to see the success of it. So, tell us a little bit about Coach Freeman, man, because you are one of the most interesting guys I've ever met, and the people on the podcast absolutely love when I got somebody interesting on. So tell us a little bit about Coach Freeman.
Maurice Freeman. I'm 56 years old, born and raised in Quitman, Georgia. wife, Christine. I have a son, Maurice. His name is my name, too. Lauren, Brandy, Brianna, and Hallie are my girls. Those five kids and Christine. I'm a Brooks County High School graduate, Florida A&M graduate, and been to Hamilton Elementary School as an elementary school teacher, Northeast High School as a line dance teacher, my first high school job. back to Brooks County in 1994 as the head football coach. Moved then to 98 to Southwest High School as athletic director, head football coach, to Brunswick High School in 2002 to 2006. And then 2008, came back to Brooks County, brought a hammer with me, and we've had a lot of success with it.
Oh, I love the slogan, Coach. I love the slogan. We bring the hammer. I love that. So tell me how that came about, man, because I've always kind of wondered. You never have given me the story, on that.
We were at Brooks the second time. I was looking for something different to present to the guys. I thought they were very talented, but I thought they were just not playing as a team. I think the few years before I got there, they were 4-6, 2-8, 4-6, 4-6, something of that nature. Just talented young men, but just wasn't getting it done because of various reasons. So I was looking for something that we could really bite on. First time I was there, my slogan was 45 players in a bad mood. So, you know, my fans, my friends like, hey, what you got this time? What you going to come up with this time? You got to have something now. You got to have something good. And so the University of Minnesota, I saw it in a Sports Illustrated book. They had a guy that was running out of a banner, and he had a small hammer with him. And I'm not quite sure. It didn't say anything about it in the article. Didn't even address it. But I said, you know, I like that. I mean, find me a much bigger hammer, the biggest hammer I can find. And went to Stone Store in Quitman, and they had sledgehammers, huge ones. And I said, this is just what I'm looking for. So I take it to practice one day. We're getting ready to play Cook County. But I had a coach that had coached at another school before that had a black helmet also. So he said, I can find you a black helmet. So he brought the helmet. And so I took the kids on that Thursday. I said, guys, look, it was the first Thursday of my first season back. I said, guys, we've got to play so hard that no one wants to play us anymore. We've got to hit so hard. We've got to be so fast and so quick that the next team, the team we are playing 2 weeks from now, they are still hurting from Brooks County. And I said, I got just the thing to get you to understand what I want. So I brought out the hammer, and they're all looking at me all crazy. I put the helmet on the ground. I put on some safety goggles. And I didn't realize helmets were that strong. And I take that hammer, and I try to smash. And I'm thinking it's going to smash and poof in all kind of pieces. But it doesn't. It puts a nice little dent in it. So then I do it the second time and a third time. And by the time I hit it the third time, and my determination was, look, I'm going to smash this hammer to this helmet till these guys get pumped up and just jacked up and all. Well, on the third lick, it caught fire. Coach, let me do it. Coach, let me do it. Let me do it. And so as they were smashing, I said, bring the hammer. And it got loud. Bring the hammer. Got loud. Bring the hammer. And then all of a sudden, everybody's screaming, bring the hammer.
Yeah.
So we go into the first game, and my little pregame speech. You've been in my pregame speeches.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Kind of whatever hits me that day. But that game, I talked about bring the hammer. And in the middle of the game, it was a punt. And one of the players that was a second string guy, and the only thing he was on was special teams. He went down, and I tell you what, he put a lick on a Division I receiver that you wouldn't believe. And so as he's running back to the sideline, I run out to congratulate him, and he says, "Coach." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I brought that hammer." And I was like, "Yes, son, you did." And it stuck from that point on.
Well, I love it, man, because not only has the football team taken that slogan, it's your whole school has followed suit.
The entire school system. Now, our high school says, "Bring that hammer and leave with a tassel." So that whole school system, it's all over the place. It's at elementary schools. It's on my wrist. You see my little wristbands. When I'm not wearing the wristband you gave me, and this is what I'm wearing. You know, we all got the hammers. You know, Brooks County, we wear hammers, hammer necklaces also. My truck tag, I don't think you noticed it, but it says Hammer. I've got a German Shepherd. His name is?
Hammer.
Hammer, doggone right. So we've all accepted it, and it has really, really took off in Brooks County.
Well, I tell you, I love it, man. So, you know, you guys played for the state championship the last two seasons, and I didn't meet you until – I met you 3 years ago, since this is my third year knowing you, and you guys went on a camp with me. And I, by the way, man, thank you. You were actually my first team camp that I took.
Really? So we were the guinea pig. Thanks.
But I appreciate that, man, because it was great. It was good to see, because when I left coaching, after so many years of coaching, and I had that same old school mentality, you know what I'm saying? And when I left, it was almost like, you know, that way of coaching had kind of passed, you know, that way of discipline had kind of passed, and things had changed so much in the football world. But then when I came and I saw you, I mean, it was just like I was stepping back in time, and I was seeing a coach that focused completely on discipline and focused completely on just, you know, having respect and honor. And it was like going back to the old days as I spent that weekend with you guys, and then to see the success that's coming behind it, man. And I think, you know, you tell me what you think, because you're more closely knit with these kids than I am. But, Coach, I'm going to tell you, I think that this generation that we've got coming up now, they are looking for confidence and direction from people who've been there and done that. And there's something different about this group of kids that are coming up now. They've got a compassion that I hadn't seen in a generation in a long time. But I want you to kind of share with us about how your method – in this world that we live in today is so effective in how it's been able to get you guys back to the title game.
Well, I truly believe that you have to have morals and values in and everything you do. And that includes the great game of football.
Right.
What we do is I've taken a lot of the military type instructions, beliefs, and added love to it. My coach's office door, it never opens. I mean, never closes, actually. Actually, we could probably take the door off.
Right.
Because I have an open door policy. My office is your office. Don't steal from me. Don't take from me. Ask for permission, and you can have it put on your shirt. Have a lot of respect. And what I have is yours. And I think those type of things, we have adjusted to it, and they've started to enjoy it. I treat you like family. I'm going to do my best with you. I'm going to show you my good days, and I'm going to show you my bad days. I'm going to show you the good things about me and the things that I need to work on. And the same thing when I'm attacking you as a football player, I'm going to teach you everything I can, and I'm going to try to learn everything I can, my staff and I, so that we can teach you. We want you to have respect, and that respect spills from the football team to the classroom, to the halls, to the community, to Brooks County. We're going to play hard because life is hard. Right. We're going to work hard because life is hard. Some things are going to go great, and some things are going to go bad. There'll be days as an adult that you just don't feel like going to work. But if you got a wife and you got kids, or even if you like animals, they got to be fed too, then you got to get up and go to work. Well, that we teach in the game, a great game of football also. If you can play on Friday, then you can practice on Monday and Tuesday. And what I ask them is, listen, if we had a game today, could you play for me? Yeah, coach. I said, then you're going to practice.
Right.
Because if you couldn't play today, then I need you to be over there with that trainer. But if you're telling me that you can play this great game of football today, then you can practice this great game of football today.
Right.
With nobody watching you, and somehow you're going to figure out a way to make it through it. Now, what does that do? That makes you get up every morning and go to work or whatever your trade is or whatever you have to do. So placing all those things together with a staff that believes in the same thing, so that we are not talking out of the side of our neck, so that we're not talking against each other. A school system, a principal that believes in the same thing, a school system that believes in the same thing, it adds up to success. But all of it is hard work. And if you don't have hard work and you don't have morals and values, you're going to have a lot of trouble.
Right.
Now, trouble still is going to come. I've lost kids, BC3, horrible car accident. I've lost a kid to got shot this past year.
Right.
I've lost a kid that jumped off of a bridge somehow and drowned. You know, so hardships and troubles will come. But we've managed to fight our way through all of it. And that is what, as a coach, that is what, as a dad, that is what, as a friend, a partner, that is what my job is. And like I always say, I love my job.
Oh, coach, you do such a good job at it. I mean, you are absolutely one of the best coaches I've ever been around in my life. When I first came, and if it's okay with you, I'm going to see if
– Tell it like it is, man.
If Crystal wants to – if you don't mind, I'll have Crystal place that first time I came and saw you do a pregame.
Okay.
I'll have her add it to the podcast,
okay,
so people can take a look at it. But now, I've never even asked you, because the way that you do your pregame when you come together and you've got your hammers in the center, and can you kind of talk about – how you came about doing your pregame the way you're doing it, because it's so unique?
Well, when we first started doing it, I wanted to be on the same level as them. I wanted them to be like me, and I wanted to be like them. I did not want to be a coach that stood over them, because I'm a big guy anyway. I'm the biggest thing on the team. I did not want to be someone that towered over them. One, we're getting down there on our knees first to pray. That's the first thing we're going to do when we get out there. And I don't want to say, guys, get on your knees and let's pray. And I'm standing up. So I got on my knees right along with them so that they could see that I was one of them. I bleed like you. I hurt like you. I laugh like you. I play like you. So we get down there, and one of the players came up with tight like a family. So we get in there pretty tight, and we squeeze, and they're sweating all over each other and sweating on me. And you know, even this year with the pandemic, with the COVID, we were not afraid. The Lord took care of us. We were there doing it the same way we've always done it. We're all up under each other. And we're going to thank God for giving us an opportunity to play this great game of football. And then once we finish that, we've got a little chant that we do. And then I'm going to give them the most emotional speech I can to get us prepared to go out and do battle. Then we're going to go out and we're going to bring that hammer.
Now, the three hammers. You lost three young men in a car accident after a workout one day. Man, that's a crazy, powerful testimony story. And those three hammers represent those young men.
They do.
And you put them in the center.
Yes.
Now, when I was there, and you guys will see on the video when we put it on here, you had your captain, Anthony, and you guys got kind of almost chest to chest. And, man, I'm telling you, I was emotional from the very beginning of that whole thing, because I just love the way the kids became chest to back and they just got tight like that. And I loved the way that you guys just stayed right in that posture the whole time you were doing pregame, because there's nothing, honestly, I can tell you, just as being a former player, there's nothing like being a part of a program and going out there and working as hard as you work to have a common goal, to have a common dream, and to go out there and just put it all on the field and walk off that field completely and totally exhausted from the fight. There's nothing like that. The only thing that can come close is when I married my wife or when my children were born. Outside of that, there's been nothing in my life that compares to being a part of a football team. And the way that you've just kind of learned, the way that you're teaching them to come together and to be tight like that, man, is so amazing to me. And so whenever I had a chance to take you guys on the trip and we had a chance to get the guys on the river, you actually requested, and you are the one that is responsible for me doing this on all my trips from now on, you requested that you wanted to wash the feet of your players. So you sparked that idea in my heart. I mean, you gave me that. That was something I kind of took from that trip. So can you, because I know you're a man of God, I know you love the Lord, but can you tell the audience a little bit about what moved you to do that?
On each one of my senior trips, I try to get my players to understand what a servant is. It's biblical, of course it is. But I want them to understand how to do some things that may be uncomfortable to them. But just like getting in that huddle and getting in there tight, it's uncomfortable. And I'm old. Sometimes it's a little painful because they're squeezing you so tight. But you must learn how to enjoy it so that you can survive and teach another group. So each group looks forward to getting down there, being a senior, and saying, look, I'm right by my coach. He's squeezing me. I'm squeezing him. Well, each senior class, wherever we are, then I want to wash their feet. And I want them to understand what a servant is. And, of course, along the same line, at the same time, then I will have someone talking about Jesus so that it ties in and they understand why I'm doing it. Now, men as a whole, we may wash our wife's feet, but we don't want to wash another man's feet. You know, we just got that macho thing about us.
Right.
But me washing their feet, one, makes me cry every time.
Yeah.
It brings tears of joy to my heart and to my eyes. But it also allows them to see my tears. I'm a big old 6'4", 280-pound cat. And they see, and I'm mean as a snake, and they see that this guy is washing my feet, and he's crying, and he's drying my feet off, and then we're gonna hug, and then I'm gonna tell you that I love you, and they always respond back, Coach, I love you, and it's so emotional, and it is something that I will never forget. They will never forget. And sooner or later, it'll come back around that they'll talk about it. They'll bring it up. And then that's when you know that they are paying you attention and that they're learning some lifelong lessons. As men, we must be servants. And sometimes that's difficult for us because of the machoism. But our job is, one, to be a leader. But you must learn how to be a leader through serving. Right. And I just think if you don't take time to serve, then why are you trying to call yourself a leader? So my job is to wash their feet and lead them in the direction that I think they're supposed to go. And their job is to allow me to wash their feet, understand why I'm doing it. And when it's your turn to lead, then you need to lead.
Right. I tell you, I loved it, man. Honestly, when you start getting involved with doing what I do and you see a guy come along, he's a leader and you actually are requesting stuff like that, man, it was so powerful. And then going on into the trip.
Well, why don't you back up to the first time we met? We didn't hit it off so good. I didn't trust you at all.
Well, when I first came up there, you know, Bobby was telling me when I came in, he was like, man, you know, Coach Freeman's different now.
Is that all he said?
Well, he said he said I can't remember how he put it, but he said, you know, he's not going to let you in real easy. He's going to be a little bit standoffish with you. And when I walked in, man, and I saw you with your kids first. That's what I saw. I saw you with some of the players, and I watched how you operated with them. And I just was like, I love him right now. I don't care. I'll work through whatever it is because I saw. And I knew the thing that's interesting about coaches to me is that the harder a coach coaches and the more you expect of your kids, to me, that shows that you care about them deeper. because it's like I tell kids all the time, I'm coaching you at this point. I'm trying to help your dreams come true. I've already had my shot. Okay. I'm going to take the wisdom and the knowledge and the experience that I've had, and I'm going to pour it into you so that you can do better than I did. And when I watched how you operated with your kids, I was like, I'm totally on board with this coach. I can tell you right now. I mean, I go into a lot of coaches' offices. Okay. I go into a lot of, because I do, you know, I'm always in schools. And I'm going to tell you something. You had me immediately from when I saw you work with your first kid. I don't know if I had you immediately.
No.
I don't know. But I tell you, for you to take, and that was probably the most fascinating thing about the trip for me, was that I know how you are as a coach and I know how much you care about your kids, but to entrust your kids to me being able to teach to them, that was such an honor to me. It's almost like when you go into a church, you know, hey, I'm not just going to walk in there and just, you know, stand in somebody's pulpit and take it for granted, because that's something God's entrusted to them, just like these kids are kids that God's entrusted to you. And when you allowed me to come in and actually minister to them, that was a deep honor for me. And it was, you know, and these kids didn't really know me. They didn't really know who I was, but man, it didn't take long. And that's what I tell people. When you're out there with people and you're with them 24 hours a day for 3 days, you get to know the details of each person's life. You get to know all about them. You can't hide the bad and you can't hide the good. You kind of see it all. And so, how do you feel? I mean, what did you feel like? It was my first team trip now, but how do you feel it went?
Well, we got off the bus, nothing but water. And you show up, big old burly guy. I'd met you a couple of times. And I'm like, I don't know about this guy yet, but I like him, but I ain't going to tell him. we get off and you're like, hey, get your paddles and get your life jacket and let's go. I'm like, hold on a second now. I got a couple of kids that can't swim. Put these vests on, man. We got to go. And so we hit the water, and Anthony Daniels has on 2 life vests. Coach, you know I can't swim. I'm scared. I said, Anthony, this guy's a professional. I kind of trust him, but I'm behind you. He's in front. I'm in the back. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. And we hit the water, and it's smooth sailing from there.
Yeah,
you did your job, and that's all I wanted you to do. Man, you do your job. I'll do my job, and we're going to make sure these kids are safe, and you're going to teach these kids some lessons about this water and everything else that you got in front of us, because I didn't have a lot of information on it at that time, but I knew we were at a couple of nights, a few days. We're going to tough it out. We're going to be outside with all the elements, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to eat some good food, and we're going to praise the Lord. So let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And, boy, I tell you, we had a great time. We learned a lot about each other, and I had some kids to get baptized. I had some to baptize themselves earlier, freaking frat, falling in the water, losing all their clothes, losing their Bible and things of that nature. But Donnie and Spray. But man, we had a great time.
Yeah, you brought up the baptism, so I got to tell the audience about the man. This was so cool, and I don't know if we could put pictures on here and Crystal could show you guys, but I think you had 3 kids that absolutely could not swim.
Correct, 3.
And so one of them was a linebacker, and I played linebacker, and I kind of took to him a little bit. I don't remember his name.
TJ,
and I took to him a little bit, and I was trying to kind of help him learn how to swim. And then on the last day when we were heading out and we stopped at that sandbar and we were talking about doing a baptism, I was thinking, the whole time I've been working with TJ, he wouldn't even let me put his face in the water. I mean, he wouldn't even put his head in the water. He was so afraid. And I thought, how in the world is Coach Freeman going to baptize these guys whenever they won't put their face in the water?
I had no idea. First of all, I was doing the baptism. I thought that was your job.
Well, I want that to be a memory that you guys take home for the rest of your life. And, you know, there's no requirement to be able to baptize somebody. So, but whenever you got to them, I had a vision the Saturday night before in my mind. God had put it in my heart, and he kind of showed me an image in my mind of you putting your arms all the way around them and going all the way down so they would be comfortable with it. And, man, when you started baptizing those kids, man, it was just like I was thinking, this is the most beautiful image of love that I've ever seen in my life, because these kids literally would not put their face in the water the whole trip. And then Sunday, they're willing to let you baptize them and go under the water completely. And it was, to me, that encapsulated everything for the trip, to watch that development as they were so afraid. And then they came and they were willing to be baptized. And those pictures, man, it's, I've got one of them on the side of my ministry truck.
True. I saw it.
I think that's the one with TJ. I think it is. I think that's him.
That's
on
my
there.
Dude.
And so it was, it, to me, that was one of the most powerful baptisms I've ever been a part of. I've never baptized anybody that I did, that they told me they couldn't swim. Cause I'm sure that's gotta be terrifying for somebody that can't swim. So now that we've been a couple years from that, how are those guys doing? I know you keep in touch with them.
TJ is going through VSU to be a teacher coach. That's what he wants to be. So he's going to be a good one. Great student. Anthony is you know, had a Florida A&M scholarship. He decided not to stay, but he's working. But the majority of those guys, some in the military, some in college, they are doing great. There are no sad stories in that group. Those young men are doing a good job. But back to that picture, I have a lot of pictures of myself through photographers and the newspaper and all that have done a great job of keeping memories of Brooks County. But there are two pictures of all the pictures I have. One of them is state championship game a year ago, where my wife and I are talking and we're kidding around right before the game. She's in the locker room and I'm talking to her. I'm actually spitting a little game to tell her how good she looks. and somebody took a picture of it and gave it to me. And I keep that picture in my phone. And the second one, I don't have a picture of it, but you put the picture on the side of your truck of me baptizing TJ. And when I saw that picture, I was like, oh man, this, you know, so it really, really made me feel like I'm doing what God has requested that I do.
Yeah.
Be a good teacher, be a good coach.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, man, I got that picture. You're going to get it. So I want to ask you a question too, though. I want to ask you, you know, what is your favorite thing about being a head coach of a, especially that you're in your hometown where you came and went to school?
My favorite thing about being a head coach is when a father that I've coached comes back and says, "Coach, here's my son. What time do y'all get out of practice?" And leaves. That means he trusts me.
Right.
That is the favorite thing. Or the second thing would be a player that comes back and says, "Coach, you know what? Everything you told me came true.
Yep.
I'm glad I listened." Those are the favorite things.
Yeah. So I have kids that come back now that been in the military, get married, have jobs. And I get a lot of, "I wished I would have listened to you."
I get some of those too. Yeah, you're going to get some of those.
"I wished I would have listened to you." But when you think about coaching and you think about spending time with all these young men and me and you've been down that path and you think about all that, you know, how much longer, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but how much longer do you see yourself being a head coach?
You know what? I would have retired this past year, but I don't have anything else to do. So I did retire, but I'm 49%. But the pandemic made me made us all stay home.
Right.
So I was home for a couple of months with not a whole lot to do. And I was like, "Oh man, I can't do this. Right. I gotta have something to do." And so the school system came back and said, "Hey coach, man, why don't you come on back part time and continue to coach?" To make a long story short, I don't know how long. I need something else to do. And when the Lord tells me it's time, or the players or coach say, "Coach, look, man, past your bedtime now," then I guess I'll give it to the next guy. Now, the great thing about it, I'm training a couple of guys to take my place. And then I'm sure there are guys that are in other school systems that says, "When that Brooks County job comes open, I'm putting my name in there. In that, for that job." So I'm sure there's some young people waiting and ready. And I hope I don't stay too long. I want to leave out on my own terms, but I also want to leave when it's time to go. But I'm sure I'm going to need something else to do because I'm not a sit around the house kind of guy. So to answer that, I think 3 or 4 more years, maybe more, maybe less, there's a third grade kid at Brooks that says, "Coach, I'm going to play for you." And I smile at him every time he says it because I don't think I'm going to be around waiting on no third grader. He's going to be a pretty good one, but I don't think I'm going to hang around that long. I really don't know. Hopefully the Lord will give me a signal before my knees give me the signal.
Right, yeah, they'll give you a signal.
Yeah, but they will. They're already talking to me a little bit. Yeah. So I'm enjoying it. I love it, man. We're having a great time. Even on the bad days, there are good days. Because you've seen our guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're great kids, man. They work hard. They love to play the great game of football. And we are prepared to play five quarters every game instead of four.
Right.
And most of the time, our opponents are not prepared for that.
Yeah, you guys, out of all the programs I've ever been around, I've never seen programs that work harder than Columbia and Brooks. I mean, you guys work. I mean, you know, I tell people when I here at Columbia, and it's amazing that you and Brian are able to get these kids to work as hard as they're working. I mean, it's amazing. But it shows when you go out there on Friday night, you can just see the end of the game. You can just see kind of a surge of the kids because they're so much better in shape. They have so much more wind. But, you know, going into the future and thinking about something to do, I know you love to fish now.
I love to fish.
Yeah. So I want to know, now don't be giving me fish stories now, but tell me, what's the biggest bass you've ever caught?
Well, I'm not going to talk to you about the biggest bass I've ever caught. I'm going to talk to you about a 9.5-pound bass I caught.
All right.
I was fly fishing for brim and in a small pond, as a matter of fact. And I was in a boat. Now, I'm not – you can tell I'm black on here, can't you? Yeah. All right. You know, we don't like to stand around in water that we can't really see. So I fly fish out of a boat. And so I'm pooting around the pond, catching some brim, catching some small bass. I'm having a great time with a fly rod. Bill Dance taught me how to fly fish. Not in person. I saw him on TV, and I went and bought me a fly rod and learned how to fish based on what he was doing. So I took to a fly rod. And so I'm pooting around, and then I get a good hit off of a topwater popper. Now, I think it's a brim. But it hits takes off, and it doesn't jump. So I said, oh, man, I caught a catfish. So I'm just kind of letting them drag the boat behind him and saying, all right, I got to wear him down, then I'll drag him on up here and get him in the boat. Well, when he finally came up and turned over, it was a 9.25-pound bass, big mouth bass, caught on a fly rod. I immediately got him in the boat. I immediately put the boat on the bank. I immediately put the fish into my truck so that he did not get away. Stopped fishing, took him on to the taxidermist. Hey, man, fix this up. Left him, came back, and went back fishing.
So you kind of like me. Yes, I believe in catch and release, but I believe in catch and release into the grease.
I believe in catch and release now. I do. But that one, I had to keep him. Most of the time, if it's over 5 pounds, I might throw him back, just according to whose pond it is. Coach, need to keep my big bass. No problem. But other than that, now I want to eat. I fish to eat. I don't fish for fun. I fish to eat.
Yeah. So when I went to your office one time, I don't know if this was after the trip or I can't remember. I was in your office one time sitting at your little conference table. And I was talking about my relationship with our head coach, and I coached him and how close we are. And I actually started getting emotional. You know, and I was talking about it, and you was like, and you looked at me, and I said, I just really wish Brian had a guy like you in his life to pour into him, you know, just somebody that he can really build a relationship with and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I just know how much you guys have in common. And you looked back at me, and you said, you tell me when and where, and I'll come spend time with him. And I want to tell you publicly, he's like one of my own kids to me. I love him. He's like one of my sons. And I want to tell you how much it means to me that you've been willing to get in your truck and drive from Quitman to Lake City, Florida, and invest in the guy that's, you know, you were talking about how much the slogan, "We bring the hammer," has affected your entire community. Well, the head coach has that kind of capability. When the head coach Correct. Steps up and leads in a godly way and leads in a discipline-oriented way and says, hey, man, we want you to get a tassel before you leave Brooks County. And when you start doing that kind of stuff, it resonates throughout your entire community. And I know the influence that a head coach in a small football town, I know how that influence. And for you to be willing to get in your vehicle and drive to Columbia County and invest in that guy in our community means a lot to me. I knew he would hear your voice. I knew that he would be able to relate with you well. And I thank God for that relationship that you built with him. And I look forward to seeing the relationship you build with Coach Mitchell over in Hamilton County. I think he's got amazing potential as a young coach. Back in his hometown, I'm excited about what he's doing. But if you want to stay busy when it's time to hang up the whistle, I promise you there's some coaches that need a man like you in their life, Coach. So, you know, I've told you, we got a coaches ministry in FCA, and you would be an absolutely perfect coaches minister in FCA. So I promise you there is a retirement plan waiting if you're ready for it.
Well, you know what? You're the first person, and now you're the fourth person, because you were the first person to bring that up. Now you're the fourth person. It's been brought up a couple of times. So it is something that I'm definitely interested in. I do want to be a big part of young coaches' lives. So when you told me that you wanted me to meet your dude, you know, yes, I bid on it because I wanted to meet him. I mean, when somebody thinks that well of you, then you, whatever great qualities you have that you got from God, they were not mine,
right,
that he gave me, then I wanted them to spill over into someone else. So Brian and I are good friends. As a matter of fact, I text him on the way down here, and he texted me back a few minutes ago. So I'll get a chance to answer once the show goes off. But we're lifelong friends. I popped up on him a couple of times, and I feel great about it. Some of his kids, which have fallen for me also, have come to see us play. Some of them have attended games with you. I've come down to watch them play, and I've just had a ball just talking with them. So I guess that is part of ministry. So Maybe when I'm through coaching, maybe you'll have a little job for me that'll pay me more than $2 an hour.
That's kind of what it is when you coach. I love when people say, oh, you in ministry for the money. I'm like, no,
you're not.
You don't coach for the money. No, you don't get in ministry for the money. You do it for the people, you know. And so before we get off the podcast, I want to ask you one question.
Ask it.
All right, so anybody out there listening, you've been around, you've learned some stuff, you've worked with, how many years you've been coaching now?
34.
So you've been doing it for a while, and you've got some water under that bridge. Give us some good life lessons for anybody out there that's listening from your experience of doing what you're doing.
My experience as a coach, be true to the game. Truly be true to the game. Take your ego out of the way. As a young coach that's interested in coaching, be prepared to get dirty. Be prepared to go through a tough life. But first, take the ego out of the way and do whatever needs to be done. Whatever the head coach needs done, be that guy that will open his ears and close his mouth, not have an ego, and say, hey, coach, I can do that. And as the years go by, you will learn the game of football, the game of life. You will learn these young people. You will learn people in the community. You will learn the administration at that school, whatever school that is, that you may potentially be the head coach. You will be prepared, but you must first learn how to get dirty and enjoy it. So don't just come in there with a playbook saying, hey, this is the playbook I want to use. No, use whatever playbook that coach has. And when it's your turn, you'll be in the fire.
Right.
You're going to be in that fire. And so then you better be able to stand ground on what you've learned and what you've been taught. And I was taught by a coach that had 3-5 foot wide splits. And I'm like, man, this stuff not going to work. But what Coach Milligan, God bless him, bless the dead. But what Coach Milligan taught me was to be true to everybody I'm coming across, to teach as much as I can teach, and to show them love and respect. And those are the things that I do that has nothing to do with X's and O's, has nothing to do with W's and L's, because I have well over 200 wins in my time. But I learned the most through the losses of my BC3.
Right.
The loss of Ajahn, the loss of Florida Boy. I learned the most through those. The loss of TJ. TJ didn't play for me. He would have been a senior this year, but he had cancer in the middle school. And he became a close friend of mine, and we spent a lot of time together. He was on the sideline a lot. But I tell you what, man, on his worst day, you or I couldn't tell it.
Right.
And this kid had cancer. I have no idea what cancer feels like, nor do I want to know. But I know when this kid got his leg amputated, he said, I want to stop by the house and see Coach Freeman.
Yeah.
And, man, he was smiling more than I was. I'm saying, this kid has just got it. He just got out of the hospital, and he's, how is he in a good mood?
It's all about mentality, man.
It's all about mentality. You're absolutely right. So through all of those things, you learn these lessons and you pass these lessons. And he taught me some lessons. Losing my BC3, which is like a scarlet letter, it'll be with me forever. Forever, those three boys would be with me. But those things taught me some things that I, in turn, had to teach my community, my players, my community. And they're just lifelong skills that I have. And I pass them on to my coaches so that they can pass them on to the next group of coaches, next group of players. And those are the things, the lifelong lessons that you must learn if you wish to be successful in this business and if you wish to not cheat these young people.
Right.
And that's what I'm all about. Don't cheat them. You have to teach them those lifelong lessons. And if you do that, the great game of football won't cheat you.
Right. I tell you, football taught me so much. My dad passed when I was two, and it was the thing that kept me together, kept me in school, kept me on the right track, kept me doing the right things. And, my coaches live down in Orlando, and I don't see them but once every few years. But, man, when I do, it's just like emotions that I can't even explain, because he was that father figure in my life. And, you know, I just love it. And I love what you're doing. I love what's going on in your program. And I want to tell you this too, Coach, man, I appreciate you being a part of my life, because, you know, my wife told me the other day, we were just kind of laying there talking as we were laying in bed. And she said, you do realize, man, how much God's blessed you with friends, you know? And I said, you know, that's probably true. I've had a lot of old timers tell me, if I can count great friends on one hand, I'd be doing a great thing.
Right.
But I think I could do it on two, because God has just put that many good men around me. And since I've been born again, he just surrounded me with these really honorable, dedicated, you know, loyal friends that, and Coach, I consider you to be one of those. I know I can trust you. I know that if I needed anything, you'd be here for me. And Coach, I thank you for letting me speak into your kids' lives. I know that wasn't an easy thing for you to do. And I promise you, any chance you give me to speak into your kids' lives, I promise you, they're going to get Jesus, and they're going to just get more support for what you're doing in their life. And
here's a confession to you. Of all the 34 years, I've been around a lot of FCA guys. And there are two FCA guys that I trust with my young people. And my young people, I'm very defensive and protective of my young people. The two FCA guys, because I don't allow people into my program. I just don't want people teaching things that are not on my agenda, and we just may not believe in the same things. But the two FCA guys are Dave Gettings, which saved my marriage, and you.
I appreciate that.
Are the only two that I've ever allowed to come and go as they please.
Well, I appreciate that. It means a lot to me, man. And as you guys, we're gonna stick the video of the pregame. The first time I ever came to your pregame, me and Damon came, and I'm gonna stick it on here so you guys can see it. And I just wanted to talk about one other thing before we go. In that pregame video that we're gonna put on here, there's a coach that you have on your staff, and I think his name's Coach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's another very, very positive influence in your program. And in this video, you actually call him out about roaring, because you were talking about you wanted everybody to roar like a lion, and you guys do some push-ups.
You know, say it like that. Maybe you didn't hear me. Not tonight. You don't get none of this. But understand, this has got to be a great battle, because it's two great lions, both up 4-2. But it's our territory. We pissed on this grass. Did we?
Yes, sir.
Not lose the territory, Jim.
Territory!
Do not lose the territory. This is going to be a good one. We need to have a ball. We need to be bouncing the whole night. We got to play four quarters. And we got to beat some folks up. So that they understand, never come to our territory again. That's what Lions do. When they whoop you, you don't come back. Am I right about that?
Yes, sir.
Am I right about that?
Yes, sir.
I know because I watch the Nation Channel all the time. So I'm fascinated with it. I ain't never seen the same line twice. Everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
We leave out of here, we leave this Lions gym. I need to hear you roar. I need to hear it all night long. Call me! Hey, call me! Roar! Bob!
Sir!
Give me one name and get a body. On three, I need to do it. One, two, three.
He listens to this because I haven't really had a chance to get to talk to him, but I just want to tell him, man, that he is the example to me of what it looks like to be completely selfless. He's got every reason in the world not to be devoted like he is, but I'm gonna tell you, that man, from the first day I met him, there was one thing I knew for sure about Coach Wilson, and that was he absolutely loved Brooks County and he loved the football program. And with all that he's got going on, I just think that's so amazing to watch him continue to be completely devoted to the program with all the issues that he has to face on a daily basis.
No doubt.
So, Coach Wilson, hats off to you, brother. You're making a difference in a lot of young men's lives. That's going to go way, 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 way on after you go learn, after me and you and coaches off hanging out with Jesus and the Apostle Paul and Peter and all of them. And hopefully all this is going to make a big difference. Coach, listen, man, thank you so much for driving down. Thank you for coming and being a part of the podcast. Be careful on that road. It's going to be raining probably when you head back. It looks like it's getting cloudy out there. But anytime you need me, I'm there. I'm like you. I'm saying the same thing that you said to me at that table about Brian. You just say when and where, and I'm there.
All right. I look forward to possibly participating in your camp this summer.
All right.
And, we'll go from there. But I'm always, one state away, across the road,
that's
Georgia,
right.
Florida. So,
hey, we're South Georgia, is
yeah,
where we are.
Yeah, absolutely right. Definitely,
you're North Florida. All right, Coach. Thank you for coming, man.
Bring that helmet.
Thank you for listening to A Voice in the Wilderness podcast with Skipper Hare. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can also learn more about FCA Outdoors by going to fcaod.org. Check out the Woods and Water magazine, which comes out once a month. Skipper writes an exciting article for FCA Outdoors. You can pick them up in most convenience stores in the Southeast region. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel Hare Days-Uncut to follow all the podcasts from Skipper and his friends.